By the next Wednesday, I'll be back. Yeah, okay. So I was asked to speak about, I forgot already who asked me about it already, to speak about the issue of people who have to go to work early, for those who work, and for those who go to work early. So what do they do about davening shacharis in the morning before they go to work? Are they allowed to go to work first? I was told that sometimes, nowadays in corporate America, sometimes they can arrange a meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Whatever, 6:30 in the morning. Is that true?
Don't look at me. Whoever's fired. I don't work. What? Who works?
So when you were working, this didn't exist, this phenomenon?
When I was working?
Yeah.
Some meetings are quite available.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I've been told that people sometimes have to go to work extremely early. And it causes a big issue what to do about davening, about saying Kriya Shema, about wearing tefillin, what do you do? So we're going to go through a little bit of this sugya and figure out exactly what to do in those types of situations.
Anybody from the first meeting?
So I have also been told that in the White Shul they have a 5:30 minyan every morning.
And now it's 5:51.
So,
afterwards.
So in the morning...
They start by the lows. So they will be start now will be 5:51.
They never begin before Elos?
They don't start before.
So I'm safe. I was nervous. I was talking to my father today. What am I going to do? I'm giving this whole shiur. Obviously, we're going to come out that you're not allowed to start before Elos. I said, as far as I know, the White Shul has a minyan at 5:30, whether in the winter, whether in the summer. So thank God you're saving me. And they do not start at 5:30. But I think in the summer they start at 5:30 because that's obviously late enough, 5:40. Now, how fast they daven is not my issue. And... How they say the words, it's not my problem. But we're just going to discuss this Zmanei Hayom. So the sugya starts as follows. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Lamed that Avua de Shmuel v'Levi. There's a story about Avua de Shmuel and Levi. Ki havu ba'u l'mefik l'urcha, when they had to go on a trip. So let's assume that Avua de Shmuel and Levi are two businessmen in our times. Let's assume, and they have to go to work early in the morning. So what are they supposed to do? Have a mikabi umatzli. So the Gemara says they used to get up early, and they would daven early. Okay, 5:40 minyan. So it sounds like they were what? So it sounds like they were going on the run. Okay, good. So what they do? They used to get up early in the morning. They used to daven shmona esrei, and then later on, when it came time to say Kriya Shema, which we'll see later is a big machlek, is exactly what the Zman Kriya Shema is. So when it came time later for the Zman Kriya Shema, so then they recited Kriya Shema while they were on the trip, while they were on the airplane, while they were wherever they were. So that's when they said Kriya Shema. Kiman, says the Gemara, this that we find that Avuah d'Shmuel and Levi had this practice that they would say Shemana Esrei first early in the morning, and then later they would recite Kriya Shema. Who are they going like? Ki Hai Tana. So the Gemara says this is based on the following Tana, Ditanya, because we have the following brisa. Hishkim latzis l'derech. If a person has to go out early in the morning on some business trip, on some other reason he has to go out, so the Gemara says, mevi'en lo shofar v'tokeya. Person who has to go out early, so it's not business, it's Rosh Hashanah. So he has to go out early because there's someone sick in the hospital and he must be there. Or whatever the situation is, he has to go somewhere and he has to go hear the drasha sachacham. So the Gemara says, what do we do in such a situation? So the Gemara brings a brisa. So mevi'en lo shofar v'tokeya. He wakes up early in the morning, and we bring him, we provide for him a shofar that he could blow shofar early in the morning. Lulavim menaneya. Same follows. If a person finds himself in such a situation on Sukkot, so we're also going to provide for him a lulav that he could shake early in the morning. Megillah v'korebo. Ukshiyagia zman kriya shma kore. So he does all the mitzvahs early, and then later on, when the zman kriya shma rolls around, so then he will recite kriya shma later. Hiskim leisha bekarno b'sfina misfalo ukshiagia zman kriya shma kore. The same applies if a person is going
he's
on a business.
In the dark,
he's doing this in the dark. So we'll see what type of dark. We'll see in a minute. Let's just get this straight. Reb Shimon Elazar is of the opinion. Benkach u'benkach. Whether I'm going on a trip early in the morning or not, says the Gemara, kori kriya shma misfalo kadeshi yismoch geulu l'tfila. He says, if I'm going out on a trip early in the morning, don't tell me that I should split my Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei. I should say my Shemona Esrei now, and only later should I say Kriya Shema when it comes time. No, says Rav Shimon Elazar, right now, before I go on my trip, I should say Kriya Shema, even though it's too early. And then later, I should say Shemona Esrei immediately following my recital of Kriya Shema. Says the Gemara, b'maykom iflegi. What's the big machlekes here? Whether I should say Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei together, or I should say Kriya Shema and Shmona Esrei separately. Says the Gemara, what's the machlokes? Mar savar tefila mu'umad adif. One man, the Amar, holds that standing while you daven is most important. Why? Because I can only have kavana. Rashi explains there, I can only have kavana when I stand up. So therefore, if I'm going on a trip early, the first man, the Amar, the Gemara says, you should daven like a mensch at home, daven when you're standing up, daven when you can have kavana, and later on, you'll recite Kriya Shema as you're going on the trip. However, Mar Savar, the other man, the Amar, holds, mas mechul letfila adif. The best practice is that you should say Geula L'Tfila. You should say Shema Esrei and Shema right next to each other. So therefore, since you're not able to do that early in the morning, therefore he says, you should daven both of them together even though it's early in the morning. Fine? So that's what the Gemara says. So Rashi and Tosfos have Machlokes in that Gemara. On the first line of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Avuah d'Shmuel and Levi used to go out on their trips, on their business trips, on whatever they were going, early in the morning. So they used to daven early. So what's early? What would anyone say here?
3 o'clock in the morning.
Before of Kumecha. So when would they say Shmona Esrei? The Gemara says they used to get up early and daven. So when would they say Shmona Esrei? You're saying 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. So 3 o'clock in the morning, that's not in the Parsha. So Rashi writes like you. Rashi says on the Sugya, when they used to go on their trips and they needed to go out early, so Hayu Magdimin L'Hispala Kodem Alos HaShachar. A pellet. Rashi says they used to daven 3 o'clock in the morning. They would go and daven Shmona Esrei for Shachars. So Tosfos on the spot asks Akasha, how in the world could it be? How could Rashi say, it's night?
It's a tarot of the Atri, the daven Myra.
Right, it doesn't make any sense. In the middle of the night, how am I allowed to daven as early in the morning as I have to get up on a trip? It's too bad. I can't daven Shachar so early before Elisha Shachar. Before Elisha Shachar is not day. So Tosfos says it's impossible that Rashi is correct. It's impossible to say that these Amaram used to get up and daven in Shachar sometimes, and even in a Shasat Chak. It's impossible to explain that they used to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and daven Shachar. Tosfos says it must be that they daven Shacharis when? After Elisha Shachar, but before Netzach Hamah. That's what Tosfos explains in the Gemara. That B'Shas Adchak, a person is allowed to do that. He has to go to work, he has no choice, his hands are tied, so he's allowed to go and daven at the 5:40 minyan, which starts after Elisha Shachar, but before Netzach Hamah. Okay, so we're going to get into this in more detail. So the next Ma'ar Makom we have is the Mishnah on Megillah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis.
But before Netzach Hamah, I mean, even the 6 o'clock minyan, for instance, is before Netzach Hamah.
Netzach Hamah
is 7:05 now,
7:10, yeah?
So are we saying that even the
B'Shas HaDchak,
even the second minion, so to speak, the 6:05, you know, the 6 o'clock minion, or whatever?
It's B'Di'Evet. If a guy has to go to work, so he has no choice. Shas HaDchak, the B'Di'Evet, dummy. We assume Shas HaDchak is like B'Di'Evet, a person, we'll get into this in more detail, but B'Di'Evet, if a person has no choice, he's really allowed to daven Shachar already from Elisha HaShachar. We'll talk about Zman Kriya Shema soon as well. But he's really allowed to daven right away from Elisha HaShachar. L'chatchila, the best place to daven is Netzach Hamah. So if a guy has to go to work early and he has no choice, so he's really supposed to daven only after Netzach Hamah.
What about the people that daven early in order to go to the daven? What should they daven? This minute or go to the later one and just the daven? You should daven after the daven.
Right. I mean, best is to daven afterward. So then for you, it's a Shas HaDchak. What are you going to do? You're going to work. But my question is as follows. Let's say you have a person. Okay, so let's say like this. Let's say I have a guy who daven's at the 5:40 minion every morning because he has to go to work, right? So he has to do that. So here's, I have a better question for you. What about Sunday morning? So the guy's programmed to wake up at 5:30 every morning. So Sunday morning, many times we find that they also daven at 5:30 because this is what I'm used to. I wake up at that time in the morning, and that's when I daven.
Daven that early because they can't sleep, but that's
so that's not a Shas HaDchak.
That's it. So no, what do you do if somebody goes? What's the preference to lose?
Listen.
No, he's not.
I don't know. I mean, for you, that might be a Shas HaDchak. A guy has to go to work, and he wants to learn before he goes to work. The only way for him to learn is to go to a shiur. So for him, that's a Shas HaDchak. Let him daven. You know, let him do that. It's B'di'Evet. What's he supposed to do? My problem is that what do you do with a person who davens at the 5:40 minyan and he's just for doing that every day because he has to go to work, and then Sunday morning he also goes to daven at the 5:40 minyan? That's not so simple. That's really not so simple at all. Yeah.
Where's
Mishayak here? Oh, so we'll get there in a few minutes. Okay, so let's go a little further. The Mishnah, so that's all the Gemara and Brachos Daf Lamed. Good? Good. So now, the Mishnah Megillah on Daf Chav says as follows. Ein Koron Asa Megillah, says the Mishnah. We're not allowed to lay in the Megillah on Purim, velo Malin, we're not allowed to do a Bismillah. Velo Tovlin, we're not allowed to go to the Mikvah, velo Mazin, v'chein Shamaris Yom Keneged Yom, when you have a Zava, lo Titval Achetanet Sacham. Says the Mishnah, you are not allowed to go to the Mikvah or do a Mila or read Mikra Megillah until it comes the time of Neitz Hachama. B'kulon she'asam inshallah amud ha'shachar, kosher. What's the difference, just practically, what's the difference between Neitz Hachama and amud ha'shachar? So the Gemara tells us very clearly, the Poskim speak about it, that amud alois ha'shachar means when the first, when it starts, not when you see the crack of light. Amud ha'shachar is when it is a drop light outside. And Neitz Hachama is when you start to see the Chama cracking, the first crack of the light over the horizon. So that's just for the term, so that we know what we're talking about. So the Mishnah says in Megillah Daf Chav, what? Neitz Hachama is sunrise.
And any time before dark.
Right. So what do you call Alois HaShachar? What do we call that in English? Dawn. That's officially dawn.
When you see the light on the horizon,
but you can't see the sun. Right. So sometimes that could be a very long period of time. Now you're saying the minyan starts 5:50 and Neitz is until 7:10. So that's a long time. So the Mishnah says that all these mitzvahs, which it says that you have to do them by yom, you're not allowed to do them lechatchila before Neitz Hachama. However, says the Mishnah, v'kulan she'asam yisha'alam u'na shachar kasher. Bidi eved, if a person does these mitzvahs before Neitz Hachama, but he does them after amud ha'shachar, after dawn, so then he's yotzei his mitzvah. The Rishonim point out, the Rashba and the Ritva, the Tosfos there, all the Rishonim, the Meiri, they all point out, why does the Mishnah choose these examples? What do you mean? We have so many examples in the Torah of mitzvahs that have to be done by Yom. Why do we pick these few examples? So they say, no, the Mishnah only enumerates cases which are going to be a Chiddush. So what is a Chiddush? So the Rashba and the Ritva write, the Chiddush of Inkarna Samagila is that even though there's a Chiyuv Kriya Samagila by Laila and there's a Chiyuv Kriya Samagila by Yom, so I would have thought, whatever, there's a Chiyuv Kriya Samagila at night also, so maybe I could be Makdim Kriya Samagila by day also, because it's close to the Chiyuv at night. No, to that says the Mishnah, Kriya Samagila by Yom has to be by Yom. It's supposed to be done Lechatchila only after Neitz and not before. And the Chiddush of the Din of Mila is that even when we have a Mila Shalom Bizmana, we know that it says by the Mila Bizmana when the Mila is actually able to be performed on the eighth day, so that we know that the Pasuk says by Yom HaShmini, Afil B'Shabbos, you're even Derech HaShabbos for it. What's the Din when I have a Mila Shalom Bizmana? Am I allowed to be Derech HaShabbos? The Gemara says no. The Gemara says in Perek HaBlazer the Mila and Shabbos, I'm not allowed to be Derech HaShabbos for a Mila Shalom Bizmana. Say to Rishonim that that's the Chiddush over here. Even a Mila Shalom Bizmana, which we know is something that's already pushed off, so I would have said, maybe I'm even allowed to do it at night, because I already passed the eighth day. No, say the Rishonim, that also has to be done by Yom. And then by Tfilas Ezov, the Gemara, the Rishonim explain what the Chiddush is over there also. Anyway, but Rashi writes in Megillah a fascinating Chiddush, which is a very famous Rashi. Rashi says, what's the reason why lechatchila a person has to wait till Neitz Hachama? But b'diavad, he's already allowed to do it earlier, he's already allowed to do it from Alois HaShachar, says Rashi as follows, and I'll read you, Kedei sheyetzei misafek laila. Rashi says, since very often people could confuse exactly what time things are going on, so therefore a person has to wait all the way until Neitz Hachama lechatchila. What does that sound like?
Sounds like a
gzeira. Gzeira midrabanan, right? Sounds like a dindra abanan. That really, lechatchila, when does day start? Sounds from Rashi that day starts minatar already from Alois HaShachar, but since we're concerned that people are going to make the mistake and confuse the times because they don't know exactly how to figure out all the times, so therefore we tell him that he has to wait till Neitz Hachama, then he's not going to make a mistake, because he's going to see the sun come up over the horizon. So that's what Rashi says. Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that he's medayik from many Rambams in Hilchas Mila, and my father told me that Rav Soloveitchik also felt the same way. He felt very strongly that this was a lechatchila midaraisa. This is something that the Torah told me, that midaraisa, the real yom, doesn't start until Neitz Hachama. And quasi yom already starts from Alois HaShachar. This is not a din derabanan, it's a din derayisa. That really mitzvah hayom are not supposed to be started until Neitz Hachama. You're not supposed to begin them really from Amud HaShachar. You're only supposed to do them from Neitz Hachama. So that's a machlokes Rashi and the other Rishonim exactly whether this is a din derabanan or a din derayisa. Now we'll get to this in a minute where it makes a difference. This Techemed quotes of Shem Na'aderis, a very interesting thing. This Techemed writes, the Aderis was the father-in-law of Rav Kook. So the Aderis has a ton of svarim that are. People know the story about the Aderis? No? And the Aderis. Right, right. So the Aderis was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he wrote a ton of svarim. And then. What? Yeah, yeah. So that was one part of it. But he wrote a ton of Kisvei Yad. He had a ton of svarim. He used to write all the time. And then something happened when his daughter married Rav Kook, which was later in life. I think it was Rav Kook's second wife or third wife. I don't remember exactly. I think Rav Kook's first wife died. So Rav Kook married her later in life. So that was his second father-in-law or third father-in-law. I don't remember. So when he married Rav Kook's daughter, I'm sorry, when Rav Kook married his daughter, so the certain people in Eretz Yisrael got very offended by that, and they decided that that deris is treif. So they hid all his ksavim in Panovich, in the library in Panovich, and they wouldn't let anyone touch them, because we don't want to print the kisvei out of the deris, because he's this tzionish guy that let Rav Kook become his son-in-law. Okay, so that's what happened. So they were hiding in Panovich forever and ever. So one time, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook apparently was giving a shmooze in Merkaz Harav, and he told them, you know, we all know the Heiliger Rebbe, the Haderas, everyone knows about the Haderas, and it was his grandfather, and he said that, you know, all my grandfather's kisveyat, all the kisveyat of the Heiliger Haderas are hiding in the basement in Panovich, and they don't let us touch it, because they think it's treif. So he said, like, as a joke, maybe one day someone will go and steal them from the library and print them. So apparently that night, five Merkaz Harav guys went to Panovich, and they broke into the library, and they stole all the kisveyat. And whatever, it took a couple of days for Panovich to realize. They weren't watching it all the time, what do they care? So after a couple of days or weeks, whatever, they found out that these yeshiva bachrim stole all the ksavim. So in that lapse of time, they made photocopies of all the kisveyad. And when Panovich caught them, they said, oh yeah, we'll give them back to you next week. Well, you know, we'll travel. We don't always come to Bnei Brak. So, you know, next time we're in Bnei Brak, we'll give them back, no problem. Anyway, they copied everything, and then they gave them back the old stuff. So now, every single year, there's a new sefer that comes out from the Haderis. That's why. Because they couldn't print them all at the time, they would have caught them. So now they're coming out with them very slowly. It's very interesting. But they have beautiful svarim that come out from the Haderis. So it's interesting that this Techemed already had Kisveyad from the Haderis then, that obviously were not hidden. But he writes as follows, an interesting chiddush. He says that there was a minig, I don't know if you want to call it a minig, but the Haderis writes that in many communities there were places where they used to take Lulav and Esrog on Sukkis before Hanetzach Ham. So the Haderis says he doesn't understand what's with this minig. The Mishnah said beferish in Megillah Daf Chav, all the mitzvahs that are supposed to be done by Yom have to be done after Netzach Ham L'Chatchila. So what's going on in these communities that they do them even before Netzach Ham L'Chatchila? What's going on? So Haderis wrote a whole beautiful tshuva, and he says as follows. He says there are a few reasons why I'm very for this minig. And he writes, reason number one is because you have to understand what the history was. He says in the times that we're discussing, where they used to take the Lulav and Esrog before Netzach Hama, the reason why is because not everyone could afford their own Lulav and Esrog. There was one Lulav and Esrog for the whole city. Maybe two, maybe five. So he says there were hundreds of people waiting on a line, and they would sit there and waste their whole day waiting on line because everyone wanted to say Hallel while they were holding Lulav and Esrog, right? So everyone would be waiting on a line, and he said it would turn out people would miss Mount Philo because of it, and he said it would also turn out that people are Mevatel Simchas Yantif because I'm not going to go home and be with my family because I'm sitting and waiting online all morning for this Lulav and Esrog. He says, I'm a vatal from Yeshiva Sukkah because my whole morning I'm spending in shul instead of spending sitting in the Sukkah. So he said there's so many kulkulim that came out of it and people were missing Zman Tefillah. So obviously in such a case, he says, not only do you not have to hold the Lulav and Esrog during Hallel, if it's such a shasal chak, just shake your Lulav and leave, but you also are allowed to begin before Hanetzach Ham. That's what the Haderis wrote. Now here's the kicker, here's the punchline. This Techemed writes, B'shem the Haderis. What was the punchline of the Haderis' tshuva? What was his chiddush? Till now, he didn't really write any chiddush. He said, you know, the metzius was that they couldn't do it. Says the Haderis, since Rashi says the only reason, Rashi and Megillah Dafcha says, the only reason why I'm allowed to do, why I have to do them l'chatchila after Hanetzach Ham, and only b'di'evet can I do it before, is because we're afraid people are going to make a mistake. Says the Haderis, nowadays when everyone has watches, and everyone knows exactly what time it is. The Zmanim are posted all over the place. Everyone has a watch. Yodim Lachavin Es Hasha. What?
6:19:27.
Okay, so everyone knows Lachavin Es Hasha. So he says there's no more concern. So even, says the Haderis, even nowadays, even Lachatchila, I'm allowed to start doing my mitzvah sayom from Alois HaShachar. That's what the Haderis says. That's a tremendous chiddush. And the Stechemed says, my friend the Haderis, he says, I love you very much, but I'm sorry to tell you, you don't have any right to say that. Why? Because he says, we know that the Chacham say in the Gemara that Kal Darvish Gazri Chachamim, so we normally say that you need a Gadol HaMenim B'Chacham of a Minyan in order to get rid of that Takana. You can't just get up and say that whenever the Tam HaTakana is not, doesn't apply anymore, you could just throw out the Din.
That's what they didn't give you a reason. If they give you a reason.
So we're going to explain in a minute. So the Stechemet says, I don't understand what the Adaris is talking about. How could it be? So my father writes, exactly like you're saying, my father writes the following pshat. He says, you know, we find two different types of takanas. He says, sometimes we have takanas chacham, which are a light plug. Doesn't make a difference what the circumstance is. This takana is in play all the time. Other times we have a takana midirabana, which is not a light plug. The chacham only intended for this to apply in a situation where the reason applies for they're concerned.
Well, I have 2 days younger still.
So, one second. Let's just get through the vart here. So, there's two different types of takana. So, how do we decide when it's a light plug? When do we say it's under all conditions? And when do we say, no, it's only batal atam, batal akzer? Once we get rid of the reason, then we get rid of the whole takana. So, that's the question. That's the age-old question that everyone's concerned about. So, my father writes in Mahalach, he said that it could be the pshat is as follows. Like you said, that when do we say that it's a light plug? That's when the chacham made a gzera, and they didn't tell us the reason for the gzera. They just say, X is, you know, we're concerned. They don't tell us why they're concerned, and they just say, you know, we think that this should be the din. We think that that should be the din. So in such a case, so we say, even if we think the reason is gone, we should still continue to keep that din derabbanan. However, in a case where they incorporated the din itself in the original gzera, so then obviously, batal atam, batal gzera. Now it's interesting that we find the ke'en this, we find this a very similar thing with regard to dinim daraisa themselves. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia Daf Kuf Tes Vav Min Aleph. There's a machlekes, famous machlekes, whether darshinan time of the kra or lo darshinan time of the kra. Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So the Mishnah says as follows: Amana bein shehi aniya bein shehi ashira. Right, the pasuk tells us lo sachul veged amana. So the first day in the Gemara is Amana bein shehi aniya bein shehi ashira. Whether the amana is poor, whether the amana is rich, eim mashkin unosa. I'm not allowed to take any mashkon from her. Why? Because the pasuk says lo sachul veged amana. Says Rabbi Shimon, no. What do you mean? If she's wealthy, so then if, let's say, this woman owns Macy's, right? She's the owner. So, what are you going to tell me? She's a multi-billionaire. You're going to tell me when she needs to borrow money from me, I'm also a multi-billionaire, obviously. So when she wants to borrow money from me, you're going to tell me I'm not allowed to take something from her as a mashka, I'm not allowed to take her diamond ring? Of course I'm allowed to. She's a multi-millionaire. That's not what the Pasuk's talking about. Pasuk just means over here, like the Gemara explains, what's the concern, lo spachol beged almana? What are we concerned about? Here's the poor almana, doesn't have anything to give me as a mashkon, so we're concerned, what's she going to give me? She only has one dress. So she has one nightgown that she wears at night to sleep, and she has one dress that she wears in the morning when she goes out to work. So what's going to happen? I'm going to come every morning, and she's going to give me, my father always speaks it out like this, he says, I'm going to come in the morning, and I'm standing by the door, she's going to go behind the door, get undressed, give me her pajamas, I'm going to give her back the dress. She's going to go again behind the door, get dressed, and say, okay, have a nice day. Then I'm going to go back at night. I'm going to say, okay, get undressed and give me the dress that you wore today. She's going to come, you know, get undressed right behind the door. Give me the dress. It's crazy. So therefore, we're concerned. People are going to start thinking that maybe there's something very strange going on here. Every morning you walk out of her house with the pajamas. Every night you walk out of the house with the clothing. It looks very funny. So therefore we say, L'sachlo beged amana. So Rabbi Shimon says that doesn't apply when you have a rich woman where there's concern, would not be the case. So therefore Rabbi Shimon says, Darshid on time of the cross. So that's the Malchagis of Yudhir Rabbi Shimon. Says the Gemara, what's the din in a case where the Pasuk tells me the reason right next to the din darai? So for example, Lo yarbe lo nasha. We have a din by a melech, he's not allowed to marry more than 18 wives. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the second parak, brings a whole drasha, how do we know it's 18? Whatever, so the Gemara says a reason why. So says the Gemara over here, the same Gemara appears in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph also, that what's the din? Lo yarbe lo nashim. What's the din? Why am I not allowed to do it? Mishum, because the Pasuk says, lo yasur levavo. A person has so many wives and he's sitting and thinking about how many pairs of shoes he has to buy each wife and how many presents he has to get them and how he's going to take care of all them. So then all day he's going to be busy with his wives and he's not going to do what he's supposed to do. So says the Pasuk, the reason I'm not allowed to have so many wives is because lo yasur levavo. So now says Rav Shimon, what's the din if I know that I'm marrying the biggest tzaddikus in the world? What if she's number 19? So am I allowed to marry her? She's not going to be Yasser Levavo. This woman knows that she has to be a tzaddikus. She knows that the only reason the Melech's marrying her is because she's a tzaddikus. So am I allowed to marry extra wives when I know that they're not going to take my heart away from what I'm supposed to be doing? So says Rav Shimon, since it says it beferish in the Pasuk, so therefore, everyone would agree in such a case that we are darshin on time of the krah. Right? Anytime where the pasuk itself enumerates the reason for the din, so then obviously it only applies under those conditions. So that's what the Gemara says here in Kuf Tes Vav Min Aleph and Bab Metzia, and over there in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph. So, the same would apply, my father applied that also, that logic would also apply to a din derabbanan, that whenever the chachamim came there, I satikin. So whenever the chachamim applied some type of gzera or takana midrabanam because they had a concern. So if they write the Tana gzera in the Gemara, they tell us why are we making this gzera because we're concerned of X or Y. So then obviously that's the same as the din daraisa. That if the Torah told me that this din only applies under these conditions, and then if that condition doesn't apply, so then obviously the din doesn't apply. So the same would be by din de Rabbanan, that if the Chachamim wrote the Tam HaGzeira, the Tam HaTakana, within their Takana itself, so then obviously it wouldn't apply under those conditions if that condition isn't there. It's interesting that the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, we have Gzeira Medei Rabbanan of Gvina Sakum. So Gemara says a story about one of the Amoraim who wasn't feeling well one day, he didn't go to yeshiva, and he missed that discussion. They had a discussion one day whether they think we should make a gzera of Gvina Sakum or not, of non-Jewish cheese. So the Gemara says that he missed the shir that day in the Beis Medrash. He missed the whole discussion, and he came the next day and he asked all his friends, all the other Amoraim, so, knew, what did you discuss yesterday? So they said, oh, you made a new gzera. We forgot to tell you, we made a gzera of Gvina Sakum. So he asked his friends, where did this come from? What do you mean? How did they make this up out of thin air? So they said, we're not allowed to tell you. So he said, what do you mean you're not allowed to tell me? I wasn't feeling well. Fill me in on what happened. No, sorry, you weren't there. We can't tell you. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean you're not allowed to tell me? So the answer is, the Gemara says that sometimes the Chacham made a gzera and they don't want to tell you the reason why they made the gzera, because they want it to be under all conditions. They want it to be a gzera with a loy plug. So the Gemara says, even this Talmud Chacham who missed the shir the day before, and he missed the whole discussion, they weren't allowed to tell him either. The Gemara says parenthetically that 12 months later, once the gzera was already accepted and everyone was used to it already, so the Chacham said, you know, we should really write down what were our reasons at the time, and they couldn't remember exactly what their official reason was. The Gemara says, I think, 12 or 13 options as to why they made a gzera against Gvina Sakum. Because sometimes the Chacham make a gzera and they don't tell you exactly the reason why. They want it to be chal under all conditions. So over here, when it comes to the din of Hanei Tzachama and Alois HaShachar. So we had the Chiddush of the Aderis, that the Aderis said that since nowadays we all have watches, so we have nothing to be concerned about. No one's going to make a mistake anymore because nowadays everybody knows exactly what time they're supposed to be doing things. So the Stechemen had a Kasha, what do you mean, how do you have a right to do it? So the answer is that, I'm sorry, one more point before we get there. The Mishkan HaTziyakov writes in his Tshuva that this all applies, this is true when it comes to a regular din, Midirabbanan, Gzeira or Takana. What's the story when the Rabbanan came along and told us a gzeira against doing a din d'arais? For example, you're not allowed to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah Shchalis B'Shabbos. Why? Because a gzeira shami avirana daladam s'vishasara. So imagine one day, I'm a God-fearing Jew, I learned in the yeshiva Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So Moshe Rabbeinu taught me when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, what are you supposed to do? You blow shofar. So now I'm living when the Chachamim in the Chachmei HaGemara are making up their gzeiras. And I learned in Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva that when Rosh Hashanah Shchalis B'Shabbos we blow shofar. All of a sudden, one day, come the Chacham and hang up Pashkevilin all over the place. Sorry, this year Rosh Hashanah Shchalis B'Shabbos, no blowing shofar. Get out of here, Yapi Kursim. What does that mean? I learned in yeshiva that it's mutter. I learned in yeshiva that it's a din d'araisa you're supposed to do. How are you coming along and telling me that we have a gzera midirabbanim because of Sheva Yamirana, David Alim, Spashisarabim? You made up a tarkana against the din d'araisa. How do you have a right to do that? So the Mishnah Siakov writes that in those types of scenarios, the Chachamim, in order to institute the Takana, had to write a reason. They had to say it's because Shami Yavriyana Dalad Amsur Shisarabim, otherwise no one would have accepted the Gzera at all. What right do they have to make a Gzera if I know that the Din Darais is not like them? So in order for the Chachamim to have the right to make the Gzera, in order for the Tzibur to accept the Gzera, so says the Mishkanos Yaakov, they had to incorporate the reason within the Takana itself, otherwise it would have never got off the ground. So now, when it comes to the story over here with Hanei Tzachama and Alois HaShachar, really, midaraisa we know is the din of Zuzim Akdim in the Mitzvahs. The Gemara says in the first parak in Pesachim that we learn from Avraham Avinu, a din midaraisa of Zuzim Akdim in the Mitzvahs. So, midaraisa really, I should do them right away when daybreak comes out, which is dawn. I should do it right away from Alois HaShachar. That's the din daraisa. Came the Chacham and said, we're afraid people are going to make a mistake. So therefore, you should wait until after Hanei Tzachama. Correct? So what right do the Chacham have to make that gzera unless they tell us that the reason we're doing it is because we're concerned you're going to make a mistake? So says that Daris Gevaldik. Nowadays, when that whole reason doesn't apply anymore, why doesn't it apply? Because now everyone has a watch and they know what time it is. Says that Daris. The whole Takana doesn't apply.
So on that theory, today we have a calendar. Why do we have to worry about 2 days younger?
Yeah. So I think the Gemara says in the first parak in Beitza that even when it was Kavu B'Kviya D'Yarcha, even when everyone knew exactly what the calendar was, still it was a Takanas Chachamim regardless. I think it was, the Gemara says, Hizharu B'Minog Avaseichem B'Yadeichem, on that din. The Gemara says exactly your kasher. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Nowadays we all know when the calendar falls out, we all know when Yantif is, we all know when Rosh Chodesh is, so why do we keep Yantif Sheni Shogaliyah? So to that the Gemara writes, there's a din that a person, they were kaveya this din rabbanon. I don't know why. You have to. We're still not explaining why the Chacham decided in some cases to write a reason why not. That I'm not sure. But in that case specifically, the Gemara tells us in Beitza in the first parak that the Chacham were kaveya that 2 days of Yontif are something that were kaveya l'doros.
Because the bigger question is why Shavuos, and they said the same reason. Because they're not going to have it.
Right.
The
Shavuos
is not depending on the calendar.
Right. Shavuos, we read a note from Pesach. Right. It's no Shiloh.
Days account for 50, that's Shavuos.
Exactly. Right. So, which is actually a question. It's interesting. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. Right? The Gemara says in Yavamos that there were a few things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own. So one of the things he did was by Matan Torah, he was Hosef Yom Echad Midaito. He added on an extra day. He said, I think that everyone should wait an extra day until Kabbalah Sater. So the kasha is, the Magen Avraham asked in Hilchos Shavuos, so then why don't we keep Shavuos on day 51? Don't count 50 days, count 51 days. Moshe Rabbeinu put off a day, so we should also. So he has a whole mahalach from the Ramami Panu. It's interesting. The Magen Avraham quotes his Hilchos Shavuos. Just talking about your 50 days. It's an interesting point when you have time to look it up.
One of the time, it does say it's Zion Sivan instead of above Sivan, but that's...
Yeah, that's a different story. Over here he's asking, once we know already what day we keep Shavuos, he says, why is that true?
The Torah doesn't have Shavuos because of Matan Torah. It just happened to be. We're doing Shavuos because of a different reason.
Uh-huh. We're doing Shavuos because the Torah tells us to keep Shavuos. Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do with Matan Torah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Interesting. He gives a different mahalach. I'm not sure why he doesn't say that. Okay. Whatever. Anyway, so that's the Chiddush of the Adaras, and it's something that's very interesting possibility. It would turn out, according to the Adaris, that a person, even l'chatchila, a person would allow to be davening his shachris minyan if he has to go to work. That's not only b'di'evit, it's even l'chatchila. You know, many, many disagree with this Adaris, but it's definitely a strong suggestion. So the Mochamas in Meseches Brachos Daf Ches Amud Aleph asks an interesting question. He says that if the Megillah, the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Amud Aleph that we just saw, tells us that all the mitzvahs hayom must be done after Hanetzah Ham and Lechatchila, so why is it that we know that there would be Makar of the Karban Tamid Shel Shachar after Alois HaShachar? They didn't used to wait till Hanetzah Ham. So that's Mefurish in the Mishnah. So why is it that they used to do it earlier? If we know Mitzvah Hayom Lechatchila are only supposed to be done after Netz, so why they used to be over this din every single day in the Beis HaMikdash? Says them in Chaschinach, obvious Teretz. What Kohanim's reason, man? Kohanim are very careful, and we know if Rashi's correct that the whole reason why we're not allowed to do it before Netz is because we're concerned people are going to confuse it and make a mistake. Kohanim know how to be careful. Kohanim are always very careful with everything. So therefore we have nothing to be concerned about by the Kohanim. And we're going to assume that that's why they made the Karban Tamid early in the morning, even before Alois HaShachar. The Ramban himself, however, writes a different pshat. The Ramban writes that the reason is as follows. He says that, obviously we have to assume that Yom, the official title of Yom, already starts from Alois HaShachar. Right? That's obvious. Otherwise, how does the Mishnah tell me that b'di'evit, if I do something before Netz, it works? So it has to be that there's Yom already, there's a quasi-Yom at least, already from Alois HaShachar. Says the Ramban that the Chacham told me to wait till Netz, but he says that in a case where the Torah tells me a din kadima, where the Torah tells me specifically over here, the Gemara darshans in the beginning of Perek Tamid Ishchad Amsachim, the Gemara says, baboker, baboker. What does that mean? That I'm supposed to be makdim the Tamid Shel Shachar as early as I can. So he says, the Chacham don't have, they're not going to come and tell me that I should do it later because they're concerned that I'm going to mix up the times in a case where the Torah specifically went out of its way and said, do it as early as you can in the day. If the Torah just told me do it by Yom, right? If the Torah just tells me to do a mitzvah by Yom, so fine. So the Chacham say, the real Yom starts from Netz Chacham. Wait till Netz to do it. But if the Torah tells me, don't just do this by Yom, do it as early as you can in the day, so then he says that would be different in such a situation. We would assume that you're allowed to start already from Alois HaShachar. The more proper thing to do is to start from Alois HaShachar. That's what the Ramban himself writes to answer this question from the Tamid Shel Shachar. And Menachas Chinuch answers more simply that Kohanim's reason mehem, there's nothing to be concerned of. So we find a similar thing. Rabbi Kalbach in the Chavetzel Hasharon says that this is similar to the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He says that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechir Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Beis that there would be Oisik B'binyan Beis HaMikdash Me'alois HaShachar Atzeis HaKochavim. Okay? They would already start doing the Binyan Beis HaMikdash from Alois HaShachar. Aye, what do you mean? Bini Beis HaMikdash has to be done by Yom. The Gemara and Shavuos Daf Tesvav tells us that Bini Beis HaMikdash has to be done during the day. Darshan from Sukkim. So how can you tell me that? How can the Rambam say that they would already start building the Beis HaMikdash from Alois HaShachar till Tzei Sakacham? How are they allowed to start at Alois? Why shouldn't they start at Nates just like every other mitzvah by Yom? So Rabbi Kalbach suggested that maybe since the Ramban writes on Chumash that the Pasuk says after all the tzivui that the Ribbono Shalom gave about Binyan HaMishkan, so the Pasuk says, Kechol Asher Ani Maroscha, whatever, V'chein Ta'asu. So the Ramban says, what are these two extra words, V'chein Ta'asu? What does that mean? You just told us what to do. What's V'chein Ta'asu? Says the Ramban, it means, V'chein Ta'asu Shekulcha Mitzuvim Lasus Bezrizus V'Charitzus. He says, V'chein Ta'asu is coming to emphasize, do it as quickly as you can. Don't wait. Don't delay a second more than you're supposed to be delaying. So therefore, Rabbi Kalbach wanted to suggest that maybe this is along the same lines as the Ramban in Brachos on Daf Ches, that the same way the Ramban wrote that the reason why you're allowed to do the Talmud Shel Shachar before Neitz HaChama is because it says specifically Baboker that there's a specific inyan that you're supposed to do it as early as you can in the day. So the same thing over here, that's why the Rambam writes by Binyan Beis HaMikdash that you're already allowed to start from Alois HaShachar because the Pasuk says V'chein Ta'asu, you're supposed to do it Bizrizus, you're supposed to do it as early as you possibly can. So along these lines, you can also explain another Rambam, that the Rambam writes that the Nashim are Chayiv in Binyan Beis HaMikdash also. So all the Achronim ask Akasha, how does the Rambam say Nashim are Chayiv in Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Aye! Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah says, man grama, you're not allowed to do it at night, you have to do it during the day only. So how does the Rambam say that Nashim are Chayavos in Binyan Beis HaMikdash if it's a mitzvah says, man grama? And we don't find that the Gemara writes that this is one of the exceptions to the rule. So what's the pshat in the Rambam? So that's the kasha that all the Achronim ask on the Rambam. So, the answer that some Achronim want to give, is that no, this doesn't mean that you have to do the Binyan Beis HaMikdash Balayla. The women also have to be involved in helping to plan the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's not called the Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama, because you don't just get up and build a house one day. You have to find contractors, you have to find lawyers, you have to find everyone to involve themselves. You have to find people to weave and to build and to figure out how to make bricks. So that's not a mitzvah seishas mangrama. All that can be done even at night also. So therefore, some Achronim want to say that that's why the Rambam says it's not a mitzvah seishas mangrama. Okay, that's one shot. But others want to say like this, that since over here, how do you want to explain with this Ramban? I just forgot how he wanted to tie it in with the Ramban. Some Achronim answer that the reason why it can even be a chiyuv for Nashim and it's not considered a mitzvah seishas hazman grama is because we assume that even at night a person has to be involved in certain aspects of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash.
There's only one mitzvah, Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The night is matzah, but it's not the same thing as if you say tefillin. You know, you don't put on tefillin. Each day is a different mitzvah of putting on tefillin. So that's considered mitzvah hazman grama. Binyan Beis HaMikdash, once you start it, you have the mitzvah. It's a continuous mitzvah. Just because the night...
So let's take Bris Mila as an example.
Bris Mila is...
So Tosis has a famous kasha in Kiddushin Daf Chavtes exactly about this. The Gemara darshans in Kiddushin Daf Chavtes that a woman is not kasher for Mila because we darshan from a pasuk, Oso velo osa. A different pasuk. Oso velo osa. That's the Gemara's drasha. I forgot what the original pasuk is. But the word in the pasuk is Oso. So Tosis has a kasha. Why do you need a pasuk to come tell me Oso velo osa? If we know it's a mitzvah sheishas man grama, we know that the pasuk tells us by Yom HaShmini, and it has to be done by Yom. That's exactly what that Mishnah Megillah tells us, that Mila is not allowed to be done by Laila. So if that's the case, it's a mitzvah seishas mangrama, so Tosfos has the kasha. Why don't you say Nashim Arpatur? It's because of mitzvah seishas mangrama. So everyone goes on this Tosfos, and everyone explains Tosfos Ritz says about mitzvah shebeguf, and everyone has their own reason why Tosfos kasha is not a good kasha. So you're saying, that since this is not some, it's not that I'm putter by Laila, it's just that it's not that I have a new chiyuv every day.
Right.
It's just that my chiyuv is continuous. So you want to say that that's not called a mitzvah seishas mangrama. So the same would be by Mila, that it would not be called a mitzvah seishas mangrama because that chiyuv is something that's continuous.
Right.
Okay. Good. Okay, so now I saw something interesting. The Tur in Yerudei in Hilchos Nida writes as follows. A very strange lashon. The Tur writes in Siman Kuf Tzadi Zayin, Nida de Araisa. So he says, Nida. on a nida who is actually nida daraisa, which is nowadays we don't really have a status of a nida daraisa, whatever, it's not for now. Ena tavelas ad lel shmoina. Fine, so we know a nida has to wait till the night to go to the mikvah. Now, zava, what's it done by a zava? So she's tavelas even by yom. Midaraisa, she's even allowed to be tavelas even by yom. Listen to the lashon of the tour. The tour writes, aval zava, he's contrasting a nida to a zava. Nida has to wait till the night to go to the mikvah. A zava, dvar Torah, means we're talking on a level of daraisa. Tovelas b'yom zayin miyad achar hanetzachama. Let's read that again. Zava, dvar Torah. A zava min ha-Torah, what is she supposed to do on a level of daraisa? Tovelas b'yom zayin miyad, when should it be? When mid-daraisa are you let it go to the mikvah? It should be after alesa shachar. The Torah writes over here that she's only tovelas b'yom zayin miyad achar hanetzachama. It says mid-daraisa she has to wait till nates. Pella. So Rabbi Kibeger and Shulchan Aruch and Simkuf Tzadi Zayin right here, he jumps on him. He says, "What do you mean? How do you tell me that a nida mid, that a zava midaraisa has to wait until after Netzachama? What do you mean?" Rashi writes on his Pirush on Megillah Daf Chav that it's only a din derabbanan, since we're concerned that people are going to make a mistake and they're going to get confused exactly what time it actually is. So that's why you have to wait until Netzachama. But midaraisa, yom already starts at alos. So that's where Rabbi Kibeger's kasha. So I thought maybe the answer is that the tour holds like the Rambam. We said before that Ramosha is Medayik and the Rambam is in Hilchos Mila, that really Midaraisa, this is a Lechatchila Midaraisa, that really you're supposed to wait till Nates. Not like Rashi said that it's just a Chashash Midarabana, maybe you're going to confuse it. Maybe the tour holds like the Rambam. So my only place that I got stuck in that is, it's a little side topic. I see we're really running out of time. We didn't even get through half of the stuff yet. But there was a... The reason I got stuck on this, I was asking this to my father today, was that if you're going to say that the Torah holds like the Rambam, that really Netzachama is a din l'chatchila midaraisa, you're supposed to wait until Netzachama, that's not just a din derabbanan. My problem is like this, that there's a famous Tosfos and Nida on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis. Tosfos has a famous Yesod, which is that the only time we say that there's such a concept as a l'chatchila and a b'diyeved is only by a mitzvah. For example, there's a mitzvah to do... I'm picking tricky examples, so that's not a good example. For argument's sake, let's say Shechita, okay? Let's just assume for now. For argument's sake, there's a mitzvah to do Shechita. So there's a lechatchila that I'm supposed to shecht both pipes. B'di'eved, I'm yotze even if I do one. Right? So Shechita is a mitzvah. The Torah tells me when I want to eat meat, go do a Shechita. Right? Let's just, for argument's sake, let's take that example. So that's why we can say that there's such a thing as a lechatchila b'di'eved. But Tosfos says, what about, let's say, going to the mikvah, right? So what are you going to tell me? There's a lechatchila and b'di'eved going to the mikvah? What are you going to say? Lechatchila, the woman should go to the mikvah, not of any chatzitza, b'di'eved, if she went to the mikvah, so she was yotze the tefillah. What's a tefillah? Tefillah is not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah for a woman to go to the mikvah. Tefillah is a matir. If we want this woman to be tahara labayla, so then she must go to the mikvah. What do you mean? If you have a 90-year, whatever, you have a woman who doesn't have a husband, so there's no mitzvah for her to go to the mikvah, even though she's in nida every month. So therefore, Tosfos writes, Tosfos says a famous klal, that the only time we find the concept of lechatchila midiyavet is when we're discussing a mitzvah. When you're discussing a matir, for example, going to the mikvah, what do you mean? Did you do it or did you not do it? How do you say you only got an A+ on what you did?
I know of an instance where a woman became a ger. And she went to the mikvah and came out afterwards that she was wearing her contact lenses when she was in the mikvah.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said, b'di'eved.
Right.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular instance, there was no mitzvah there.
Yeah.
Chatzitzas
are a different... a different discussion.
Mikvah for a ger is a different concept than going to the mikvah for a nida.
Also true. Yeah, but leaving chatzitzas out for a minute, what are you going to say? You're going to tell me that if someone was supposed to do a matir, let's say, take another example, hafreshes challah, right? So some say that hafreshes challah is only a matir, it's not a mitzvah. Or hafreshes truma is a better example. Hafreshes truma, some say, is only a matir, right? If I want to eat this, this produce, after you hafresh truma samaisers, fine. Now let's say I only am mafresh truma in a b'di'evedic fashion. So what are you going to tell me? Bottom line, am I allowed to eat this or not? Did I do the matir or did I not do the matir? Right? So Tosfos says it's impossible to say that there's such a concept as l'chatchila b'di'eved when it comes to a matir. You can only have a l'chatchila b'di'eved when it comes to an actual mitzvah. So either you get an A plus on your mitzvah, or you get an F on your mitzvah, A minus on your mitzvah, whatever. When it comes to a matir, the question is, did you get a pass fail?
You would say a bracha on the matir. What kind of bracha is it then?
Oh, so it's a
Shechit is also a matir,
right? The Taz in Yerodeah talks about it. I think we discussed this a few weeks ago, no? About different brachas, about. Yeah, so there's. Oh, that's when we discussed it. Shabbos Chanukah, we spoke about it here. About making a bracha on all these things. So the Taz in Yerodeah says that that's why the bracha on Shechita is just a Berachas HaShvach, because Shechita is a matir. So he says.
Every time you do a matir on Tefillah, you'd say that's Bracha Shvach also?
On Tefillah.
For Ger, let's say.
Tefillah, the Ger is a little different, but Tefillah, Isha.
The Kohen did the Zrikas Adam, he did have a bracha.
The Kohen did the Zrikas Adam.
On Mafishkal, you say a bracha. So if you're saying it's a matir, then why would you also say bracha then?
So that's a machlokes, the Magen Avraham and the Taz. That's actually a machlokes. In Simon Ches, in Arachayim Simon Ches, the Magen Avraham talks about it.
There's a bracha on Afrash Shuma also.
Right, so there's a bracha on Afrash Shuma. So in Yerodeah Simon Aleph, they quote the Magen Avraham and Simon Ches and Arachayim, who discuss in Hilchos Tzitzis, that's Simon Ches there, about all these cases, whether Hafrash Shum is a Maishas is a mitzvah matir, whether Hafrash Chal is a mitzvah matir, whether Shechita is a mitzvah matir, and that's why it comes up in Yerodeah Simon Aleph with Shechita when it's talking about the Shechita. So Reb Kibeger and the Taz have machlokes whether Shechita is a mitzvah or matir. So it's a question, if you say it's just a matir, how do you make a bracha? So the Taz writes in all these places, in Arachayim and in Yerodeah, he writes in all these different cases that you're right. You have to say anytime it's a matir, like your question, how do you make a bracha on a matir? Answer is, it's a berachas HaShvach. We're thanking the Rabbanu Shalom that he gave us this mitzvah, and that he gave us whatever. It's still something in the Torah, right? He gave us this activity that we're supposed to do, and this is the way we run our lives, and we're so happy and we're so proud of it. Whatever, that's what the Taz writes. What do you mean?
The Zrika Sadam, the Kohen did it. That's a matir. Otherwise, until you do that, you don't have the bonus.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Zrika Sadam for it.
I don't know.
So what are the Taryakis?
What is?
It's the Taryakis.
Yeah.
So I can say it's not a mitzvah, bro. So what's that?
How can you say it's not a mitzvah?
Well, the Taryakis mitzvah.
The Chacham Tzvi talks in Siman Aleph. First tshuv in the Chacham Tzvi talks about giving a get. Right? It says, when a guy hates his wife, whatever, three of them, Machlokes HaTanaim in the Gemara, and the end of getting the last daf, Tatsadi, so when is the guy allowed to give his wife a get? So let's say the Gemara says, person's allowed to give his wife a get, for sure, when he's Matzavah Dvar Erva. He hears that his wife is Mizaneh, give her a get, goodbye. So, what's the din? So, there's a mitzvah for a person to give a get, right? The Torah tells me mitzvah to give a get. Oh, so you say I should be mekayem mitzvah, let me go be megarish my wife. Oh, what do you mean? So that's the same thing. Hafrashas Shuma. Whenever the circumstances come, so then I have a chiv to be matir the kriyah before I eat it.
So what is a mitzvah though?
It's a mitzvah to be matir, right?
But it's a mitzvah.
I just gave you the example. I just gave you that example. What about Chacham Tzvi talks about, what about Chalitza, right? You have an older woman, they're Madaik from Rashi in Sanhedrin Daf Chav. That, what if you have an old woman who is not going to get remarried, right? Chalitza, she's not going to get remarried because she's 95 years old already. But Nebuch, she never had children in her life. Now her husband dies without children. They never had children together. So now, the brother's 94, right? So she's not going to marry anybody. So do you say that she needs chalitza? She's in a nursing home already. So you say she should go do a chalitza or not? So if you say, what do you mean? Chalitza is a mitzvah in the Torah. So why shouldn't we do the chalitza? So the Chacham Tzvi talks about the shayla. And he brings a raya from, what?
Never
going to get him to stand. Okay. So that's the Chacham Tzvi talks about the shayla. What do you do about chalitza? Is it a mitzvah or a matir? So he says, nope. He's medayik from Rashi and Sanhedrin on Daf Chav. That whenever you have a situation where the person is not going to get married anyway, so this mitzvah doesn't apply. The mitzvah only applies in a case where you need the mitzvah to be helping you to go and get remarried. Since a woman is not allowed to go ahead and get remarried without having a chalitza, therefore, the Torah told us the way I'm supposed to go about doing this in such a situation is to do a mitzvah chalitza. However, in a case where it's not applicable, Chacham Tzvi says maybe that mitzvah does not apply at all. By all these examples, you have that. It's interesting that it just comes up all over the place, but you do find such a concept. It's the same way we understand it very simply by get, that there's no mitzvah for every husband to go home and be Megarish's wife, right? There's no mitzvah like that, unless the circumstances arise where they can't live together. So then, the protocol is that the person should give his wife a get. That's what the Torah told me. To be matir my wife, I should give her a get. But you can't say that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and be Megarish your wife. That's not the case. So we have all these different kinds of examples like that, where you have a question whether things are a mitzvah or a matzah. You'll see in Yoredei Simon Aleph, I'm not making it up, it's the Rebbe Kiv Eiger and the Taz have this machalikus, and the Magen Avraham and the Tzitzis Simon Ches talks about it also.
Truma, if he's not a farmer, he doesn't have to do it.
Truma. Truma, yeah.
He's not a farmer, he's a CPA, I don't know.
Right.
He doesn't have a chiyuv to do truma.
Right, that's part of the discussion in Rabbi Kiv Eiger and the Taz and Yoredei Simon Aleph is, let's say a person has no intention of eating this produce. I am a farmer, right? And I just plucked 1,000 apples off a tree, and I have no intention, I have no interest in eating these fruits at all. So do I still have to go ahead and be mafresh trumas and maisers or not? That's the question. So if you say, hafresh trumas and maisers, the mitzvah, the Torah tells me, whenever produce grows in your field, you must be mafresh trumas and maisers, doesn't make a difference whether you plan to eat it or not. You have to be mafresh trumas and maisers. But if you're going to say that hafresh trumas and maisers is only a matir, so then over here I don't plan to eat it, so let them rot away and we'll let them rot and no one will care, and we won't be mafresh. So it's an interesting discussion. So I see we really didn't even get into the crux of the issue here. So I apologize, but we'll go to the parsha now a little bit. Next week, I am not going to be here, but maybe the next week we will continue with this, and then we'll go on to what do you do if you're in business and you have to daven mincha? What do you do about that? So we'll discuss a little bit about that as well. Find the phone booth. Okay, so we'll discuss that. I have something interesting here on the parsha. I don't know if it's famous or not. To me, this was a tremendous chiddush, this Tiferes Yisrael. And it was very exciting for me. So if anyone's heard it already, just bear with me, because I found this very interesting. In the second paragraph, it's quoted a Tiferes Yisrael in the end of Kiddushin. This is quoted verbatim. Tiferes Yisrael writes the following story, fascinating story. Shehebi davar pela shamatza kasuv. He said the following story is found in the history books. Ki shahotzi Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom es Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Shamu amim yirgazim. So the pasuk tells us that everyone heard about the amazing, amazing thing that Moshe Rabbeinu had just accomplished. Vayismamu ma'od al zeho ish Moshe. And people were totally taken aback by Moshe Rabbeinu. This person sounds like he's incredible. He was able to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, split the Yamsuf. Ki al yado nasu kol agvuras hanaflo sa'ilu. Because through the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu, through the great wisdom of the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, look what happened. There was a kriyas Yamsuf. V'lachein hasor melech aravi echad. So because everyone was talking about this amazing Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore there was one Arab king, Bayishlach Tzair, who took the greatest artist in his country, Muvchar, who was a real trained professional, Tzair, Tmunas Hamanig HaGadol HaZeh Ulahavio Elav. He said, go find out who in the world is this Moshe Rabbeinu, go sneak into the Midbar, and go draw a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, bring it back to me, I want to know who this guy is, I want to know a little bit about him. Fine, so good. So he sends this guy, professional artist, to go draw a picture. Vayelech HaTzayir, so the artist goes, and he sneaks into the Machmeh Yisrael, Vayetzar Tmunaso, Vayaviyu Lefnei HaMelech. He goes and he draws the picture, he paints it, makes it beautiful, he brings it back to the king. Vayishlach Shuv HaMelech, Vayavig, Vayasev Yachtov, Kol Chachmeh Harashim HaShalom. The king brings in all his philosophers, all his thinkers, and all his major brilliant personalities. Vayishlach Lahem Lishpot Al Pi Parts of Panav Shal Moshe Kefi HaMetzur. So he says, look, I just sent this artist to go check out what Moshe Rabbeinu is all about. He comes back and he gives me this picture. I want you to study the picture. Is there such a thing nowadays? People who study faces? Yeah. No? Do the police have such a thing? That they study? I know they study handwriting. What's that called?
Body language. Body language.
No, not body language. Here, if I just see a picture of someone, can I figure out parts of his personality? I get whatever. It seems that there was such a chachma in those times. So he calls in all his philosophers and he says, I sent my most professional artist to go draw a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. I want you now to look at the picture and figure out what's behind this man. What do you see in his personality? L'adas tchunas tibo midosav. I want to figure out what's behind him. Where does he get his tremendous strength from? Where does it? What does he have here that we don't have? Vayashivu kol hachacham miyachta v'lamelech v'yomru. Everyone came back to the king after studying the picture and they all said together, im nishbar al pit siur klaster panav shel ha'ish hazeh ha'mefursim l'gadol. If we're just going to judge based on this picture that your artist drew for you, Nomar Ladoneinu, we're sorry to break you the bad news, but it seems to us, Kihu Rama Alalim, he's the most terrible person we've ever seen. Begeus, he's so arrogant. Vechemdas Hamamon, he loves money and he takes bribes. Vishirus Halev, he's totally out of control. He does whatever he wants. He has no discipline. V'chol chesrona shava olam Moshe Rabbeinu has the worst personality we've ever encountered in our lives. Sheyaganu nefesh adam ha'meula. If we were to put Moshe Rabbeinu as the worst person that we could ever imagine in our minds, that's what we see in this picture. Okay? Very strange. Vayiktsav ha'melech ma'od. The king was furious. Vayomer, and he says, Mazet hachi tesalubi. He's upset at the philosophers. What are you making a joke out of me? Of course that's not true. Halo b'chol eila shamati mikol evri opina behefech mizeh ha'ish ha'gol. Everywhere I turn, everyone's talking about this tremendous Moshe Rabbeinu. It's impossible that you guys are correct. Vayechadu ha'anashim ma'od. They were afraid that the king would kill them. Vayoshibu ala melech b'shafal kol ha'tchana. So they came back to the king and they said, maybe there's something wrong with your artist. Don't kill us, kill him. So they're blaming it on the artist. The artist comes back, Hatzaira Amar, the next line, the Tzaira says, excuse me, I'm a professional artist, don't blame me. They don't know what they're talking about. So they break into this big fight. The philosophers say, we know how to read the picture. And the artist says, I know how to draw a picture. So they're having this big fight. The king doesn't know what to do. HaMelech achshir nifsaf ladas mi mishneim yitzdak. The Melech is not sure. He says, I know this artist always does good work, and I know the philosophers always tell me exactly what's going on. So he doesn't know what to do. He says, you know what? I'm going to go by myself and check out Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to see what he looks like. Nasa barichbo farasha bayavo atoch machne Yisrael. He goes by himself, creeps into the machne Yisrael. But bo, when he gets there, by Isa ena bayaris Moshe isha lakim ayrachok, he sees this tremendously beautiful face of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayamahir, and he rushes to take out the picture from his bag. Vayabed, and he looks, Vahanu vihineu kitmunaso chatzamo kashatziro hatzair. So he says, this is
accurate.
Exactly accurate. It's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Moshe Rabbeinu looks exactly like the artist painted him. Kolea as hashara velo yechta. Vayafug libo, so he's beside himself. Vayifla vayitame amod, he can't believe it. So he goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu, he bows down to him, so he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm in a quandary. I sent this artist, he drew me a perfect picture of you. I showed it to my philosophers, they tell me that it's inaccurate. So what's going on here? He says, no. Gam hatzayir, gam chachamecha niflam hem bideasam uvichachmasam. Both your artist is a tremendous professional, because he drew a picture that's accurate, and your philosophers are also accurate. Ulam dalacha, let me explain to you. Ki lulei hayisi b'teva b'emes kefisha shamati mimidosai. If your philosophers were wrong, and I was actually a perfect personality, and I was created that way, lo tov anochi mibulei tziyavish. I'm no greater than the tree outside that was created with everything it needs. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kigami menu nimnu v'nechshu kol chesronos ha'adam. V'imkein achi b'avur zeh eyeh yakar b'ein elokim ha'adam. Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam love me? What I do special? The Ribbono Shel Olam created me with everything I need, and he created me the perfect personality. So what's so special? Why would the Ribbono Shel Olam love me more than anyone else? So he says, Amnam keini. Moshe Rabbeinu tells this king, let me explain to you exactly what's going on. Lo evo shalom alecha. I'm not embarrassed to say, ki chola chesronos asher shavtu alaycha chamecha. All this that the philosophers decided is behind my personality. Kulam kshurim bibateva. That's exactly, it's accurate, it's exactly what I am. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm the most horrible person. V'afshar odio semasher shaptu chachamecha. I'm even worse than they could ever imagine in their wildest dreams. V'ani b'koach amitz ani echzakti v'radisi v'kavashti yosam. I worked so hard my entire life to overcome those terrible midos that were implanted in me. Adasher kanisi li hafucha mateva asheni, until it became second nature by me that I should be the most unbelievable individual that I possibly can be. So Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, I was created with tremendous chesronos. I was created with all the worst midos in the world. This is the story that the Tiferes Yisrael himself writes in the end of Kiddushin, that Moshe Rabbeinu confesses that, I'll be honest, obviously this is something that I worked on my entire life and now it became second nature, but you should all know that this is not something that I was created with. It's not something that came natural to me. And obviously, for anyone to ever reach any level of godless or shlemus, obviously he needs to work on whatever type of capabilities he was given or whatever type of chesronos he was provided with. By the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has to actually improvise and work with them and make sure that he perfects them as much as he can. Just to remind again, next week there will be no shir. We'll be in Eretz Yisrael.